shit, nigga.
To be in your presence, just to be in your presence.
pour it out. We pour it out. We pour it out. We pour. Come on, pour it out before him. Come on, pour it out before him. Come on, break your alabaster box. Come on, pour out your oil. Come on, pour it out. Come on, give it to him. Give him your best. Give him your best worship tonight. Come on, we came to lay on our faces tonight. We came to seek the King of Glory. Pour it out. 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 I came to 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 pour it out. 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 To pour it out.
Good morning, good evening, good afternoon, everybody. I hope you're having an amazing day today. This is the day that the Lord has made. We will rejoice and be glad in it. I just felt really led to just start to pray for the nations. As I was praying this morning with the Lord, he was, showing me Canada, and I was like, okay, what am I supposed to pray about Canada? Until like I went on to see what was happening in Canada on Google. I don't watch the news. I don't have TV, so I just really just rely on the Holy Spirit to just tell me what to pray about when I'm led to pray. And so I just want to lift up Canada in prayer. And then as I was praying, God was talking to me about Sweden as well. So if you are here listening, just don't be a bystander. This is not the season to be a bystander. Amen. This is not a season to watch people worship the Lord. This is not a season to just stand there and watch. This is a season to participate. Okay. This is a season to be with the assignment of the Lord, to pray, what God is saying that we are to pray about. If God is releasing somebody to pray, this is the season to pray with them, So as you are listening about, the nations, praying for the nations, I want you to really press in and pray as well. If you're at a place where you can't, Zere Basoto Rakata, you can't really pray in tongues like that. You can pray in your head, Prayer in your head is as effective as prayer outwardly, right? And so you can pray, tongues in your head if you want. Or you can just pray like Hannah prayed. The Holy Spirit is telling me right now, just like Hannah prayed. When Hannah prayed, you did not see any sound coming out, right? We did not hear her praying, but she was praying. Her mouth was moving, right? But no word was coming out. So you can pray like Hannah prayed, okay? So, Father, we just thank you for this moment right now. We take authority over this atmosphere in the name of Jesus, and we bind every assignment of the enemy. Anything that's not from you, we cancel it now with the blood of Jesus Christ. Holy Spirit, we welcome you here. Have your way in this place. Have your way, Lord. Let everything that we do here be pleasing to you, God. I pray even now, those that need intercession, even now, even different countries, different regions, I pray for the mantle of prayer to come in the room today, God. I pray that we will be a people who know how to hear you. I pray that, Lord, our ear gates, eye gates, God, our senses, our spiritual senses, Father, is open to you right now. Let the heavens be open, God, and let us hear the plans of the Lord for the nations in this moment, and even the plans of the Lord for the people that are lost, God, in the nations, because Jesus did not come for the saved and the sanctified. He came for the lost. He came for those that have been broken, those that have been lost, the lost sheep. That's what he came for. So God, I pray, as we press in and pray, I pray for even a spirit of humility, because you move in humility, God. You shake things in humility, because in our weakness, you are strong. So, Father, I pray that, Lord, leko rabataya, anyone that is thinking that they're not strong enough to pray, or they don't have a prayer language, I bind that right now in the name of Jesus. And I ask you, the Lord, you will start to armor them up in the realm of the spirit. You will start to anoint them afresh. Even now, I see that, Lord, in the realm of the spirit, to be able to speak the word. God, I pray, Holy Spirit, fill them up right now in the name of Jesus. Let the words that you want to say come forth in the name of Jesus Christ. Lord, I pray that, Lord, every word that we speak today will be edifying to your people. Every word that we release today, God, will be what it is that you want us to release. We surrender our agenda to you, God. And we say that, Lord, le korama terebazo reskataya. Let your agenda manifest. Le kore iskarama. Let your agenda, Father, happen. Let kore besete. Let what you want to happen in the room today happen, God. And so, Father, I pray, everything that we need, that we have been waiting for you to do, God, we ask that, Lord, you will send your angels, Lord. Let the angels of the Lord ascend and descend, God, as we pray in the realm of the spirit. Father, I ask you that you will position the angels that guard the atmosphere of prayer, that guard the atmosphere of worship, even prophecy, that your angels will be released at this time. That I put up the shield of faith to quench every every fiery darts of the enemy, every hindrances that is none of you, we bind it now in the name of Jesus. Let prayer flow like water today. Let living water pour out of us today as we pray, Father, and we intercede for where you want us to pray and intercede for, God. And so, Lord, I seal this moment with the blood of Jesus Christ. And I pray even now that, Lord, we armor ourselves in the realm of the spirit. We put on the whole armor of God, the helmet of salvation, the breastplate of righteousness, the belt of truth in the name of Jesus. We put on the shoes of peace, Kura Mataya, peace in this atmosphere, God. Love in this atmosphere, hope in this atmosphere, results in this atmosphere, yes, redemption in this atmosphere, answers in this atmosphere, warfare be dismantled in this atmosphere, my city, salvation in this atmosphere, fruit in this atmosphere, God, favor in this atmosphere, Father, blessings, oh yes, overflow in this atmosphere, in the name of Jesus, Father, we pick up the shield of faith to quench every single fiery dart of the enemy. We bind it now in the name of Jesus, and we pick up the sword, which is your word, in the name of Jesus Christ. We do pray. Amen. I want you to know, pray like you know God is listening, because he's always what? He's always listening. You know that God, literally, he sends angels that come and scribe when you're praying. I have seen them. He sends angels to stand there and scribe when you are praying. I remember when I started to step into a level of prayer, I would literally discern angels around me scribing. And I was like, Lord, I would discern the angels. And I'm like, Lord, who are these? What are these angels doing here? I always sense them around when I'm praying. And he's like, these are angels that come to scribe what you're saying. Okay, what you're praying about. And so what you pray about is very important to the Lord. Okay, it's very important that he allows angels to scribe it down. All right, so come on, let's pray. All right, I want us to look at Matthew 13:14. It says here, in them is fulfilled the prophecy of Isaiah. You will be ever hearing. You will be ever hearing, but never understanding. You will be ever seeing, but never perceiving. What is this saying? This is saying that, you know, before you can be able to, you know, perceive and understand, you really have to have a heart for the Lord. Right? Because afterward it says, well, the people's heart is not right. Right? I'm paraphrasing. And they hardly hear with their ears. And they have closed their eyes. Right? Otherwise, they might see with their eyes, hear with their ears, understand with their hearts, and turn, and I would heal them. Right? So God is saying that if we are a people who can pray his will, pray his purpose, we have to be a people who knows how to what? Hear him. Right? Right? Be able to see. What did he say to Jeremiah? Jeremiah, what do you see, right? Right? We have to be able to discern and perceive and understand what he's doing in this season for the nation, for his people, even for your own self. Okay, there is a moment with God. There's a relationship, a moment with God where he will show you, he will pre-show you something before it happens. He will give you insight and foresight before it happens. We see it when he told Nathaniel, I saw you before I saw you. I saw you under the tree. God knows how. See, when you come into a relationship with God, he knows how to reveal things to you before you even step into it. So when you step into it, you know his presence is already with you. You know he's already there with you. Okay? And that's how God is when you get to that place. And I want everybody to get into that place of the Lord, that you're not surprised, that things are not cryptic to you, that you have understanding, as it says in Matthew 13, that you are able to perceive, right? So let's go into it. Let's go into it and start praying. So Father, I thank you for Canada right now. Basura Bataya. I thank you that, Lord, you are, even now I hear you say you're washing Canada. Oh God, I thank you for the rain that is about to come upon Canada. I speak it right now in the name of Jesus. I pray, let the rain come down upon Canada, Father. Let it rain for 5 days in Canada, Lord. And every burn and everything that is in that place that is not supposed to be there. God, Lukura Mataya, you are the God that rains down fire. You are the God that rains down water. God, you made the heavens and the earth, Father. Rain belongs to you, Father. So I pray, let the heavens open up in the name of Jesus and rain down water, God. Rain down water upon Canada, Lord. Likoramata, that you will wash the nation again. You will wash the nation, Father, from all things that are not of you, Father. Let the nation be washed. Let the people be washed in this time, yes. Let the marketplace be washed. Let the marketplace be washed. Let the finances, God, be washed. Let the occupations be washed in the name of Jesus Christ. Father, I pray that, Lord, even the mountain of family, yes, let it be washed in the name of Jesus. This rain is not just going to remove the fire, but God, it's a prophetic shift and a prophetic movement that Basikata. Because the cleansing has happened with the fire, but the rain is coming down. So God, I pray, let rain come down upon Canada in this 5 days. God, you said it, 5 days, God. Let rain fall upon Canada in the name of Jesus. And though it is happening in the natural, there is something that is going to happen in the realm of the spirit. And I pray you release your angels even now to see it happen as you have called for it to happen. No hindrances, no witchcraft, no spirit of darkness can sabotage and stop what it is that you want to do in this land. Father, I even prayed, Lord, let this rain, Lord, baptize them afresh and remove every occultism out of the land, every spirit of divination out of the land, God. Let this rain be a purification in the land that will leave the land flowing with milk and honey. Leave the land smelled with aroma from heaven. Leave the land with I see that. I see like grass growing, flowers. Leave the land with fruits and flowers and vegetation, just as we see in the Garden of Eden, God. Let the rain come and wash it. Let the rain come and wash it completely. Oh God, I pray. Let the rain come forth and wash it, God. Wash every perversion out of the place. Wash every evil out of the place. Wash it completely, Lord. Wash it. We see the rivers in Genesis, in the Garden of Eden, God, that went out of the garden to water the garden. Lord, Genesis 2:10, your word says that, Lord, tell us that a river went out of Eden to water the garden, and that it parted and became four rivers, God. So, Father, I pray Genesis 2:10 to 14 over Canada, Lord. Let the water, let the river go out and water the garden in that land. Let every plantation be watered. In the name of Jesus Christ, I do pray. Father, I even pray now for the government in Canada, Lord. I ask you that, Lord, you will water the government in Canada. Every assignment, Father, every selfish, prideful assignment in that land, I ask that, Lord, let your water wash the hearts of your people that are in leadership, that have a mindset of me, that have a mindset of I. Oh God, this is not a place to have a mindset of I, but Father, I pray, let the mindset of I be shifted into a mindset of we, God, for you call them to be in the position for their people, not for themselves. So I pray even now, every sabotage that they have planned, every selfish ideas and laws and rules and implementation that they have planned to be released in the coming months, in the coming days, even this year, I command it to be dismantled in the name of Jesus. Yes, Holy Spirit, you are the one that convicts your people. And so, Father, I pray, let the armor of God come upon them. Let conviction, yes, let the rod of God come upon them. Let conviction be set upon them, that they will be able to toss and turn in their bed until they come out of bed and repent, and God, and say they are to be a people who care about the people. For Basirama, because Lord, you sit up kings and you set them. You sit up kings, God, and you set up kings, Lord. You sit them down and you raise them up. So Father, anyone that is in authority in Canada, that is supposed to be a priest in Canada, that's supposed to be a king in the government section, God, God. I ask you that, Lord, you will help them to make rightful decision for your people. You will help them to make great decision that will last for generations. Oh, yes, I see that, Lord. You want to make decision, God, that will bless generations to come. Even the 14 generations from now. God, I pray, le kuria mata, any rules and regulations that are set to cause generations to pivot, generations not to increase, I command it to break now. In the name of Jesus. And I ask you that, Lord, you will loose your angels to see for the plan of heaven be established in this land, in this government. Lord, I ask you that, Lord, you will start to even now plant in the minds of your people and in the hearts of your people that can speak up and release what God want to do in the land and amongst the government. Lord, I pray the authority and power will come from you and you alone, because you are the one that move mountains. God, you are the one that can shake the heavens. And so I pray, Lokora Mataya, let the heavens be shaken upon Canada, God, and let things shift in this nation. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus, I pray. Ah, yes, Lord. I come against the spirit of fear that has been released upon Canada because of what is happening in the land, because of what the fire that is happening in the land. I command that spirit of fear to be bound in the name of Jesus. I ask that, Lord, you will loose your angels that deal with the atmosphere, God. Yes, Lord, you will loose your angels that deal with principalities. Father, I pray, just as Daniel prayed, you release the angels of the Lord. So release them even now to go forth and see that, Lord, you have not called the land to be a land of fear, but God, you have called them to be a land of power, love, and a sound mind. Power, love, and a sound mind. And so, Lord, I decree and declare 2 Timothy 1:7 over Canada, Lord. And I pray that, Lord, yes, I see that, God. I thank you for releasing your arm, your cloth, the white cloth that you're releasing upon Canada to purify the atmosphere, to purify the airways. God, I thank you for the fire that you release to purify the airways. Father, I decree and declare 2 Timothy 1:7 over Canada. God has not given you the spirit of fear, but of love, power, and a sound mind. God has not given you a spirit of fear, but a power, love, and a sound mind. To the east, west, south, north of Canada, God has not given you a spirit of fear, but boko bakabakarapatura mata reskuturi istrebazuri ikarabataya, but a spirit of love, power, and a sound mind. God has not given you a spirit of fear, but of power, love, and a sound mind. Zerebasataya, we pray that right now, release favor upon Canada. Agaterebazo, we release power over Canada, love, peace that surpasses understanding in the name of Jesus. Lord, I pray for Sweden. I thank you that, Lord, you are releasing your hand upon Sweden even now. I thank you, Lord, you are coming against the warfare in Sweden. I hear you say warfare. So, God, I pray that, Lord, you release your hand upon Sweden. Every warfare in the government, every warfare in occupation, God, I thank you that, Lord, you are the one that create occupation. You are the one that give people witty ideas to create occupations, to create companies. So I pray for new companies in Sweden. I pray for new establishment in Sweden. Yes, I see that, Lord. I thank you that, Lord, you are bringing new companies from other countries, even from China, even from Ukraine. God, I thank you for bringing new companies, even from Uganda, Father, into Sweden. God, I thank you that, Lord, you are even bringing companies from Korea, from USA, even from UK, into Sweden. God, I thank you that, Lord, you are increasing the occupation in Sweden. I thank you that, Lord, you are growing and growing the productivity of occupation in Sweden. God, I thank you that, Lord, you are bringing occupations that will be there for many years to come. I thank you that, Lord, the land will be able to grace this occupation, grace this new companies, God, and flourish in the name of Jesus. Father, I thank you that, Lord, you are even now positioning those that have the mindset to work, because Nehemiah said that what the people had a mindset to work. And so, God, I thank you that, Lord, the people are having a mindset to work. Lord, I thank you that, Lord, you are dealing with there's some ballot in that place. The people that came against Nehemiah, I think that, Lord, you are dealing with those that would try to come against what it is that you want to do in Sweden. I thank you that, Lord, you are even now releasing your angels to position them to ensure that the different gates in that place, in that region, are open for the blessings and the favor. Oh God, I see that, and the productivity that you want to bring into that nation. No hindrances, no sabotage will ever be able to prosper. I thank you that, Lord, you are even now releasing the Deborahs that will be in position to walk alongside those that you called to be able to mount up and possess what you want them to possess. Oh God, I thank you for the Esthers with strategic wisdom, that they're able to have wisdom and grace about them to be able to see the nation be set free from the demonic strongholds and even the mindset that they have been in. Oh God, I thank you that, Lord, you are creating the right people, God, the right priests and the right companies and the right leaders, God, that will be able to position themselves to be those that will be able to see what you want to do flourish. And not just be there for a season, but God, last through the season. God, last through the difficulties. Last through the progress. Last through the ups and downs. Father, that Bakataya, because you want to bring an inheritance into the land. Yes, an inheritance into the land. So I pray, let the government and the companies be able to work together in unity, God. In unity, because your word says that, Lord, you bless. Bless unity. You bless unity, God. You bless unity, Father. So I pray, let unity come upon the place. As it says in Psalms 133, how good and pleasant it is when brothers live together in unity. It is like precious oil poured on the head, running down on the beard, running down on Aaron's beard, down upon the collar of his robes. It is as if the dew of Hermon were falling on Mount Zion. So I pray and I decree and declare that over Sweden right now, God. I thank you for Australia. I thank you for Australia, God. I thank you for songs that you're releasing upon Australia, the new songs, the new sound that you're bringing even into the media, into the television media. I thank you, Lord. You have given Australia the anointing for media, the grace for media. So I pray that, Lord, you are not just I pray that, Lord, they will use it effectively. Let the remnants that are in Australia be able to rise up with the sound that you want them to sing, with the creativity that you want them to release even now into this nation. This nation has been blessed with such a rich sound. There are people in this nation that can sing, that really have the glory of God in them, that know how to release the sound of heaven in Australia. Because every time I pray about Australia, I'm praying about the sound of God. I'm praying concerning what God want to do with music industry. God has graced this land with music. So I pray, let the ground be shaken. I strike the ground in the name of Jesus in Australia, that the ground will receive what God want to plant in that land, the musical industries that he want to emerge in that land. I see the buildings that he wants to build in that land to release sound into different nations, into different countries. It's like a light just shining into different countries, different nations. So God, I pray, I strike the ground in the name of Jesus in Australia, that, Lord, the sound of heaven, that the companies of musical companies and media that you want to build in Australia will start to emerge. Yes, give those that need to have witty understanding, give them discernment and perception and understanding. Oh yes, just as we said, we saw in Matthew, God, the people had eyes but they couldn't see, they had ears but they couldn't hear. Father, I pray that, Lord, you release your anointing upon the eyes and the ears of those that are supposed to go into Australia, even those that are already in Australia, that are supposed to start these companies that will emerge, recording companies, even those that have legal rights, Lord, licensing companies, musical companies. God, I pray that it will start to emerge. Even now, from 20 years from now, we will see the hand of the Lord in Australia with music, God. Musical companies in Australia. I decree and declare that right now in the name of Jesus. Let the anointing of the David anointing fall upon this land in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus Christ, I do pray. God, I thank you even now for India. I pray right now for India. What I see, the Lord is saying perversion. Perversion. He wants to deal with perversion in India. You know, perversion is not just sex, right? Perversion is also like idols, right? Idols can be perversion. Like anything that is not biblical can be perversion, right? Anything that is not biblically sound is perversion. So God, I pray. Okay, Lord. I pray against, all right, Lord. So God want to bring evangelism into India. But whenever God want to bring something into a nation, to a place, the enemy will try to bring a counterfeit, right? Will try to bring a perverted part of it. So God, I pray against any perverted evangelical ministries that will try to land into India, God, that would try to do it because they want glory for themselves, or they want to be seen. They have wrong motives, God. I pray it would not be those that will want glory for themselves, but there will be those that would say, all glory belongs to Jesus, all glory belongs to you, Lord. So I come against those false evangelical ministries, those false fivefold ministries, those that want to go and pervert that land with false doctrine, false evangelical word, God. Let their own table be overthrown. And God, you set your table. Your table is what we want to see in this land. And so I pray against the perversion that is in that land concerning what you want to do, what you want to say in that land. So God, I pray you release your fire. I see that. You release your fire upon the land, God. Release your fire and your anointing and even your oil to purify the land before the ones, the remnant that you've graced with this mantle of evangelical ministry to come into that land, God, and shake the nation and reverse what the enemy has plotted in the land. We pray this. I thank you. I see that. I thank you, Lord, for the rain that you're pouring upon the land. I see rain. You know, when rain falls to the ground, when it first hit the ground, and then when it first hit the ground, you see like some of the dust come up, right? That's what I see. And then when it hits the ground, you see like the rain like mixing a little bit with the water. God is doing something in the land, and though it might seem like it's slowly coming, because when rain starts to come, it doesn't come heavy. It comes very slow. It starts very, very slow, and then it gets a momentum. Then it starts to really like release and pour down. Okay, so what God is doing right now in India, it's like when it's drizzling, right? When the rain starts, it starts to drizzle a little bit. It's like a forerunner. It's like a little taste of it. It's like a little announcement. This is what's coming. You know, whenever it's raining, we feel a little bit of the rain coming. We're like, oh, we need to run to our car, or we need to run to the market, or we need to run to our home, right? It's like, hey, this is what's about to happen, right? And so, God, I thank you for even the little sprinkle of your anointing and your evangelical ministry and even your grace that is coming. I see that the Lord is going to be removing people, some of the people that are in different African countries that have a grace for evangelism. They have that gathering anointing upon their life, that God is going to shift them from African countries that they have been going there to evangelize and to basically teach the people. He's going to shift them into India. Now, it doesn't mean that the mantle that they have for those African countries, or the burden that they have for those African countries, is not there anymore. No, it's still there, but the assignment is being shifted a little bit. And what I even see is that when they do go to this land, to this new land of India, they will then send a different team to go and continue the work that they have been doing in these African countries. So God is saying that it'd be okay when he shifts you, because where the need is where he's going to send you, in the name of Jesus. So if you are anyone with global evangelical ministry, or maybe you are building a global evangelical ministry, I want you to really, you know, be in position to hear what God is telling you to do. I see that even in the kingdom of God, a lot of people want to, you know, copy people and say, oh, they want to do what everybody's doing or you know, step on the next trend or the next wave. But you have to know your way. You have to know where God wants you to be. You have to know what God wants you to do with your ministry, with what he wants you to do. Because if you're not graced for it and you go there, you will be overthrown. You will be overtaken. There are warfare where you have to literally plow through. We see with what God is even now showing me with Paul, right? With the shipwreck, right? So you know, just because you are called to go to a certain region, a certain region or be in a certain sphere, doesn't mean that you're not going to fight warfare. There is warfare, but there is a different type of warfare where you go and you put yourself in that warfare because you did not listen to the Lord. Okay, so you gotta, when God said retreat, retreat. When God said go, go. Okay, because he knows why. So he has graced you to be in a place where when Paul had a shipwreck, the people were gonna kill. I want us to look at that because the Lord is showing me that right now. I see that. So let's look at that. It's in okay. So according to the Bible, Paul was in prison and en route to Rome to face trial when the ship he was traveling in hit a sandbar and ran aground. As a result of the collision, Paul and his fellow prisoners discovered that they had reached the island of Malta, some 50 miles south of Italy, right? I want us to look at that. It's in Acts 27. I'm flowing with the Lord. When he showed me something, I'm going to go and look at it. Because there's a reason for everything that God shows us, right? So Acts 27, 27. Ooh, Jesus. Acts 27, 27. It says what? I want us to look at it. On the 14th night, we were still being driven across the Adriatic Sea. When about midnight, the sailors sensed they were approaching land. They sensed. They took soundings and found that the water was 120 feet deep. A short time later, they took soundings again and found it was 90 feet deep. Fearing that we would be dashed against the rocks, they dropped four anchors from the stern and prayed for daylight. This is like the ship that got lost. I feel like this is like the the ship that got lost in the ocean. All right. In an attempt to escape from the ship, the sailors let the lifeboat down into the sea, pretending they were going to lower some anchor from the bow. Then Paul said to the centurion and the soldiers, "Unless these men stay with the ship, you cannot be saved." So the soldiers cut the ropes that held the lifeboat and let it drift away. So Paul was like a voice of wisdom in that place. So God, we pray for a voice of wisdom, like a Paul, to be in this land when this happens. Just before dawn, Paul urged them all to eat for the last 14 days. He said, "You have been in constant suspense and have gone without food. You haven't eaten anything. Now I urge you to take some food. You need it to survive. Not one of you will lose a single hair from your head." And this gets me into our I wanna release this word concerning this, because this about eating right here is a word of the Lord that I wanna release. This morning God was talking to me, actually all throughout the week, God has been talking to me about our bodies being a temple. Okay. This is a prophetic word. God is saying that your body, your spiritual body, our physical body, right? Because our spiritual body feeds on the word of God, right? And our physical body feeds on the food that God has created for us to eat since the day of Eden, right? The day of the Garden of Eden. So he says that, you know, our body is a temple. Many people have forgotten that. You know, we are in the world is going through a season of famine. We see that. Things are being, you know, there's lack, a lot of lack that is happening. But if you're a child of God, that lack is not going to come to your door. That lack is not going to come to you. But even in this season of seeing that there's lack in the marketplace where, you know, food and all of that resources, you have to still remember to take care of your body. You cannot just eat anything that is out there. Okay, God says that the temple is where the Holy Spirit dwells. Your body is the temple, right? So God is releasing wisdom in this season into how to better take care of your body. Okay, what to eat. You just as they had discernment to discern that they were, you know, coming to the land, coming close to land, right? You got to have discernment. You got to ask the Lord, should I eat this or no? Okay. Should I not eat this? He's trying to create healthy habits and physical fitness. I know people don't really talk about, you know, those kind of things, but that's what God is really releasing in this moment. We see that even with, you know, the book of Daniel 1:8-21, go and look at it. Daniel told the people, hey, we're not going to eat the wine and the delicacies in the kingdom, you know, in the king's table, at the king's table. We're just going to just give us water and vegetables, okay? We're just going to eat those things. And after a certain time, come and see how we look. And when they came, Daniel and his men look way better than all the other people that ate from the king's table. And this can be, you know, deeper than just food. It can be prophetically, like, you know, when you sit at leadership tables, what are they serving you? Are they serving you gossip? Are they serving you perversion? Are they serving you false doctrine? So those can be spiritual food as well. But he was looking at, you know, the physical food. So God is talking about the physical food that is at the tables that you're eating from, you know, when you get invited to go to a place. Really discern, God, should I drink this? Should I look at what you're eating? Because I remember a couple days ago, I think, two weeks ago, I had a dream, and I already shared this dream. I had a dream where I was at a marketplace, you know, the supermarket, and then I opened the door, and I took the water, Dasani. It's Dasani. That's the water name. I took it, and then I saw there was this black, you know, chemical name written on the water. And then I smelled this, like, chemical. And the water was not open at all. And when I smelled it and I saw the chemical name, I put it back. Because that specific water, I went online to look at what the water entails. It says that it comes with minerals. What type of minerals is it? I don't know. And so when I saw it, I put it back in the dream. And then when I went and caught a different water. And then I got up out of the dream. So God is saying right now in this season, be careful what you put in your body. Okay, be careful what you put in your body. Use your discernment. Use your spiritual senses. God is going to use your spiritual senses to tell you when you feel like, when you think, oh, I need to really drink some orange juice, or oh, I need to really drink some milk. Your body is going to talk. God is going to let your body talk to you what your body needs. Okay, you might need to go and walk sometime. You might need to go and run. Okay, ask the Lord how to take care of your body. All right. This was not part of it, but, you know, as we read Acts 27:27, God is talking in this season, okay? So he says, they were all, Acts 27:36, they were all encouraged and ate some food themselves. Although there were 276 of us on board, when they had eaten as much as they wanted, they lightened the ship by throwing the grain into the sea. So what is this saying? Anything that is not needed, throw it away. If God tells you, don't eat this, throw it away. It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter if it's not expired. It doesn't matter if it tastes good. If it's not good for your health, throw it away. Throw it away, because it's going to lighten your ship. It's going to lighten you. You are the ship, your body, okay? When daylight came, they did not recognize the land, but they saw a bay with a sandy beach where they decided to run the ship aground if they could. Cutting loose the anchors, they left them in the sea and at the same time united the ropes that held the rudders. Then they hoisted the foresail to the wind and made for the beach, but the ship struck a sandbar and ran aground. The bow stuck fast and would not move, and the stern was broken to pieces. By the pounding of the surf, the soldiers planned to kill the prisoners to prevent any of them from swimming away and escaping. But the centurion wanted to spare Paul's life. When God says but, when he says if, when it says but, it means he has a plan. That's the plot twist. I love it when God has a plot twist. When man conceives demonic evil thoughts in their hearts and in their minds, God knows. He knows the heart. He searches the mind and knows the heart. So he knows how to twist, give you a plot twist. Okay? You gotta obey the Lord. But the centurion wanted to spare Paul's life and kept them from carrying out their plan. There is always a centurion that God is going to raise up amidst of you, amongst you. We see the same with when the brothers of Joseph wanted to kill him, right? I think Reuben said, no, let's not kill him. Let's just put him in the pit, right? And then Reuben was going to come back and retrieve him. There's always a Reuben. There's always a centurion. God will put his plan in a man's heart to save you from the wicked plans of the enemy. He ordered those who could swim to jump overboard first and get to land. The rest were to get there on planks or on other pieces of the ship. This is like the Titanic. In this way, everyone reached land safely. Everyone reached land safely. I don't remember why we got to this part, but I had to obey what God was saying, right? What God was saying. So whenever there is any chaos that's going to happen, whenever there's any shipwreck, God knows what he's doing. He's going to already send angels before you. That's why it's important to pray before you step into an assignment, right? It's important to pray. And even through it all, you start to pray and fast and pray. I don't know why people have teams and groups and even, schools and occupations and companies and ministries, and they don't fast together. They don't pray together. You know, they don't fast and pray. No, you gotta continuously do that, because that's how you're going to be able to perceive and understand what God is doing. So, Lord, we just pray into this, Acts 27:27, concerning to 40, to 44, God, concerning what you're doing in India. God, I know that, Lord, you want to do great things in the land. You want to really shift the land. I saw that many years ago. You gave me a dream where I saw, during COVID, you gave me a dream where I saw the idols, the altars that are in the land. It was so big. It was huge. It was huge. It was so big in the ocean. Like, I saw them in India. It was big idols in the ocean. Okay? And they were all falling down. All of them. They were just falling down to the ground. And people were running because it could fall on them. And I was just standing there seeing all of this huge idols. It was like, you know, those Buddhist big fat idols, but like different shapes of them. Many of them. I saw it in the water in India, because, you know, that's where those idols come from. They come from the water. They worship idols from the water. And so when I saw it, I was standing there and I saw it, and it was like collapsing. It was collapsing. And that's what God want to do. But before he does that, he has to send men and women to this land to be able to set the ground, to be able to bring discipleship. Because he can't just dismantle idols and not teach you how to know his word. Because then they're going to be like the people from the book of Judges, right? When the judges left, they went back to their idol worshiping, right? There has to be disciples. So, God, I just thank you for the evangelical anointing that you're bringing into India, those that are supposed to come and really release the word of the Lord and help them to know how to walk in sound doctrine, to know how to obey your word. I see Deuteronomy 28, because God want to bless them. He wants to bless them, because Deuteronomy 28 talks about what? Curses, right? And blessings when you obey, right? And so, God, I pray that, Lord, you will help them to be able to be a people that will be obedient, God. Because when they obey and they move into this land, there will be blessings upon the land. There will not be any more curses. Father, I pray this over India. I decree and declare, you know, Deuteronomy 28:1-14 over India. Because Deuteronomy 28:15 to 68 is all curses for disobeying God. And I feel like that's what the land has been yielding. The land has been yielding curses because of their disobedience, because they you know, they went after other gods. Because when we look at Deuteronomy 28:13, it says, "What the Lord will make you the land, the head and not the tail, if you pay attention to the commands of the Lord your God that I give you this day and carefully follow them. You will always be at the top, never at the bottom. Do not turn aside from any of the commands I gave you today, to the right or to the left, following other gods and serving them." Right? So don't follow other gods and serve them, because if you do, the curses of disobedience will come on the land. And God is trying to remove the curses and bring blessings, because these evangelical ministries that are coming are going to be bringing Deuteronomy 28:1-14, the blessings of the Lord in that place. So God, we pray this, that it will happen for India, that the blessings of the Lord will come upon India, God, when your people obey your word. In the name of Jesus, we do pray. Amen. So we seal this moment with the blood of Jesus. God, I pray for America. Oh, Father, I pray that, Lord, we would not be a land that is divided, but we will be a land that is united, a land under God, a land that was formed under your word. I pray that, Lord, you would bring our hearts back to you, that July 4th is not a time to celebrate us, but a time to celebrate you. Let us go into the chambers of prayer again. Let us be a people who reverence you and fear you. I pray for the fear of God to rest upon the land, that the spirit of pride will leave the land of USA, God, that we will not be a people that will be like Nebuchadnezzar, God. We will be a people that will be like Daniel. We will be a people that will be like Daniel, because we don't want to see the land be brought to its feet. We don't want to see the land be brought to its toes, its feet, and be eating from the grass of the land. No, we want to see the land prospering. We want to see the people being a people who fear you, God, who have a heart of prayer, who have a heart for the Lord and the plans of the Lord. So God, I even pray now for the fivefold ministries in this land of USA, that they will rise up with boldness, God, with an agenda from heaven to be a people that walk in unity. God, as according to Psalms 133, that no longer is there competition. I see the word competition in the fivefold ministry. No more competition. We are all one. We are all one under one. We are all different members in one body. In one body with one mind, one word. For the glory of one God. For the purification of his people. So God, I come against that competition, that backbiting, God, that is in the ministries, in the fivefold ministries. God is the one that brings promotion. God is the one that sits up king and sits one down. He knows how to do it. No more of that. No more division. God is saying no more division in his ministries, in his companies, in his fivefold ministers. No more. God, no more division. But unity. No more division, Lord. Because the prosperity of USA is on the backbone of the church. The prosperity of USA is on the backbone of the church. The church without the Holy Spirit is not a church. The church without the presence of the Lord is just a gathering. It's not a community. It's not a church. The apostles waited. The disciples waited for the Holy Spirit. In the upper room, some of them left. Will you wait? Will you wait for the Lord? That's the question the Lord has. Will you wait for the plans that he has for you? I believe that in this coming season, what God is showing me right now is that I see people sitting and just waiting to hear what God wants to say concerning them and concerning their city, concerning their nation, concerning their country, even their family. God is saying he's trying to let you sit and wait. I remember when I was praying, God literally, you know, laid me on the ground. I fell on the ground, and then I was like, I was going to get up. And God said, no, I want you to lay here. The moment I obeyed and laid, he showed me visions after visions, visions after visions. You got to wait for the Lord to speak. He's trying to show you things. He's trying to reveal things to you. But if you don't wait, you will miss it. Okay. I want to prophesy this, and I decree and declare Psalms 133 over USA, over the fivefold ministries in USA, in the name of Jesus. And the spirit of division and competition, be gone. And talking about each other, be gone in the name of Jesus. Be gone. God is trying to bring love into the fivefold ministry. Because we cannot do it without love, right? Compassion. Right, Jesus said that he saw the people and he had compassion for them. That's why he fed them. That's why he healed the sick. He did miracles. He opened the blind man's eyes. Why? Compassion. He said what? Recover your sight. And I'm paraphrasing. Go, your faith has made you well. Compassion is what God is trying to bring back into USA, the churches. Amen. That we will do everything in love. Will you want somebody to talk about you, like how you talk about your sister and your brother? Will you want somebody to spread things about you when you are in your weakness, or do you want somebody to pray for you? Will you want somebody to lie on you, like how you lie on your brother and your sister? Will you want somebody to judge you like that? Will you want somebody to do that to your children, to your husband? As a wife, to your wife as a husband, would you want somebody? How would you feel if you were in that person's position and that person was doing to you what you did to them? How would you feel? How would you feel? You wouldn't like it. I think that many people, you know, lack the fear of God, so they don't know how to have compassion. The fear of God brings compassion. People don't have sympathy and empathy. Sympathy is, you know, sympathy and empathy are two different things, right? One of it is saying, I see. I see, you know, empathy is like, you know, I understand what you're going through. Sympathy is saying, I pity with you. I feel what you're feeling. Empathy is, I understand. Sympathy is, I'm bearing your burden. The Bible says that what? Bear one another's burdens, right? It says, confess your sins to one another and pray for each other so that you'll be healed. It didn't say go gossip about each other, right? So you'll be healed. When it says confess your sins to one another, it doesn't mean that, you know, or you stole something, so you're telling your brother, your sister. Yeah, it could mean that, because when you confess what you've done, it, you know, the enemy does not have a hold on you anymore. But it also means that you can confess, you know, what you are in need of, what you lack, okay, what you're going through. You can talk about it and pray for each other, right, so that you'll be healed. You, in that way, you're bearing one another's burdens. There are times where when you step into a place, you start to feel how somebody feels. You don't know the person, but you're feeling that. That's what God means. There are many people I've prayed for. They don't know me. Prophetically prayed for. They don't know me. But as they pass by, or, you know, as I see them, God is talking to me. Hey, pray for this person about this, about that. I don't go to them like, hey, this is what God knows. Unless the Lord tell me to go and tell them, then yeah, I'll go and tell them. But we have to be a people, like, you know, we pray. Like, I started this off saying, you can pray like Hannah. You don't got to move, you know, make a sound. You can pray in your head for people when you pass by them in the marketplace, when you go out there. Let's start to be a people that pray for each other. Because when you pray for other people that you don't know, God will start to show you things about them. Not to judge them, but to pray for them. And you will start to, if you lack sympathy, if you lack compassion, this is a great way to have compassion, is to pray for people you don't know, for strangers you don't know, all right? So I'm going to end this, and I pray that, Lord, everything that you said, we just seal it with the blood of Jesus, that let your word go forth. Your word does not return to you void. Let the angels of the Lord go to these nations and see what it is that you want to do and establish it in the realm of the spirit before it even happens. Let the angels of the Lord ascend and descend upon this land, God. But Canada, Ukraine. I don't know why I'm saying Ukraine. We did not pray for Ukraine, but I just pray, let the angels of the Lord go to Ukraine. Lord, Uganda and Sweden and UK and America, Lord, and Canada as well, that your hand in Australia, that your hand, that your purpose in India, your purpose will be glorified, will happen in this land, God, in Great Britain as well. In the name of Jesus, we do pray. Amen. Blessings to you all.
You won't forsake me, and your life is stands for generations, to generations, to generations.